This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me is Darius Thomas.
Ready to get the show on the road?
Patience and timing, often two words we don't like to live by, especially when we're attempting to plan out our careers. Well, those words define Cam Hicks, social content producer for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he likes to use those to describe his career journey. From his early days as an athlete in Mississippi, Cam found a unique pathway by spotlighting his brother in high school. That decision led to a road of patience and timing that ultimately landed him in the NFL.
All right, so we're going to do 11.
Might be a little off, but might hit 11.
I told you, it's just a little fun stick that we do.
What if social teams could execute on-brand creative from their phone in under 90 seconds? Well, now you can with Team Plates. It's no secret that we're in a time where content needs exceed internal resources. Social teams want content ASAP, and creative teams want to maintain brand standards. My mission with Baller FX is to make motion design more accessible, so we've set out to create a product that frees your creative team up by allowing non-creatives to execute on-brand content anytime, anywhere. Your team, custom templates, delivered on time, on brand, in seconds. Email Justin at BallerFX.com to book a demo. That's Justin at BallerFX.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Creative Sports Podcast. We're back for another episode. And today I'm delighted because my man's from, you know, a similar place that I'm from. We have Hicks, social content producer for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cam, welcome to the podcast, man.
Appreciate you for having me, man.
All right, so we're going to jump right into it. We're going to go back to talk about your journey. How, like, where did that all start for you as a content creator, and how did you get to where you are now with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Okay. Basically what happened was I was playing ball. Like, sports has always been in my family, like, growing up. So, I mean, somebody has played sports somewhere along down the line. Mm-hmm. But it's always been in my life. I played basketball. And then I know my middle brother, Darius. Yeah, yes, his name is Darius, too. So, he played ball. He was, yes, sir. He played ball, and he was ranked, like, one of the top in Mississippi. So I kind of just started off, like, even though we was playing ball together, I wanted to edit. So my mom would record the games. So I would just take all of that footage of me and him, and I'll just create, like, different packages and stuff. And then I started packaging his stuff more on YouTube and everything, since that was the earliest platform that we had back then. So a lot of my videos just started taking off. And I used to do this Ball Is Life style edit back then. So that was just the wave back then. So that's where a lot of my creative inspiration came from back then. So started doing that. Video started popping off. And I was like, man, well, you know, I'm hooping. But these injuries I got ain't no joke. So, I mean, I need to find something else. And I was just like, this may be it. I'm like, I like it. I love it. My mom put the camera in my hand first. And then she kind of just put me in the right direction and started introducing me to people that she knew. And I basically took that and ran with it. So after those videos started popping off, I was like, look, I'm gonna go to college for this stuff. So I went to community college at Meridian Community College. I did that first, got my associates, and then I was introduced to this guy named Rusty. And he brought me in at Southern Miss, and I was a part of the student program there. And my boss there was Kaylee Shannon and Fong Lee. So those two helped me get to where I am now, basically, with, like, teaching me the ins and outs of a production. And I kind of started off as a camera operator, just doing basketball games and doing, like, little handy cam stuff. And then they moved me up to learning replay and being a director and all of that stuff. So, shoot, like, within, like, 6-7 months of my, like, sophomore, junior year, I was running, like, ESPN Plus shows, like, by myself. And I'm just like, I'm a junior going to, like, you know, being a senior doing this stuff, and I'm doing stuff that the assistant athletic, what do you call it? Assistant athletic, not assistant athletic director, but, you know, people of that status that they're doing, like, basically doing my job, doing my boss is doing. Mm-hmm. So that right there just kind of like showed me, like, yo, you can really take this far. And just knowing that I have a great eye for directing and telling stories. Like, when you think of, like, how you see stuff on TV, it's all like telling a story, like, mm-hmm. technical direction is, like, extremely tough. But, like, if you know how to tell stories and stuff, like putting pieces in the right spots. Yeah, that right there is a skill within itself. And then just being a people person, and, you know, so just all of that stuff right there, man, and learning everything and put in different positions. And they just gave me the tools to grow and work on different projects. And I took that, and I got my first, like, after graduate school, I stayed for graduate school too. But after that, I got my first career job at Virginia Commonwealth. So I was the creative content manager there out of grad school. So I stayed there for about 2.5 years. And then that's where my content journey really, really started to take off, with, like, freelance and building a team at VCU. Like, we did numbers when I had helped, like, create the team there. Mm-hmm. Still friends with all of those people to this day, like, that team that I built. So after that, I was just like, look, I want to grow some more. What can I do? Started just throwing out applications and seeing what was going to stick. The Jaguars came with the best offer. They gave me that opportunity right there as well. So I was like, man, this is it right here. So, like, took that, ran with it. And then, like, I want to say, like, my first year, one of my clips was Trevor Lawrence to Laquan Treadwell. And I think that was, like, one of my first clips that we did outside of, like, training camp. 1,000,000+ views. And then it was like, who is this guy? You know, like, because we didn't have a football program at VCU. Mm-hmm. So there was, you know, they wanted to see what this kid could do. So right there, that was, like, my breakout moment. And even though it was just, like, a small piece of content, it was just the way that it looked. And then I was the only person shooting on Sony. So, you know, I just took that and I ran with it, man. Built connections with pretty much everybody at the Jags. Our production team here, they've been really great with teaching me things and just helping me grow beyond my position. So I'm thankful for those guys for that.
Yeah, you see what's behind me with Laquan. Shout out to Laquan Trail.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go back a little bit and then, like, pick up back there. But, like, I know you talked about your mom putting the camera in your hand. Mm-hmm. You know, you covering before then, though, because I'm assuming that was in, mm-hmm. you know, middle school or high school where you were, you know, starting to pick that up. Before then, did you mm-hmm. have any, like, art interests? Like, were you interested in, you know, drawing or, like?
Yeah, I used to draw. I used to draw, like, a lot of shoes and stuff in, like, art class. Cause that's what I originally wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be, like, some sort of, like, sneaker designer. Not sure what happened there. I don't know. You know, I don't want to pull that story, like, saying, like, you know, yeah. the teacher got tired of you drawing shoes and stuff like that. But, I mean, that's kind of what happened. So, yeah.
Listen,
it was just one of those moments.
I have a very, like, it's listening to your story. I'm reminiscing on all of, cause so I remember, like, in second grade, like, I used to love drawing. I used to draw shoes, mm-hmm. but cars were my thing.
Love cars.
I used to draw cars all the time. And then I remember, mm-hmm. and this is probably a story I've never told many mm-hmm. people. I remember in fifth grade, I won't tell the full story because it's probably not a problem. Mm-hmm. I remember in fifth grade, I was drawing in class, and I won't even say the lady's name. Shout out to mm-hmm. her. And she probably will mm-hmm. never, she probably thought I would be nothing, but, you know, I'm not going to put that in the pot. But anyway, I was in class drawing, and I drew something. I drew, like, a person and, like, wanted to put some drip on them, right? And mm-hmm. I put I drew something, and then like she sent me to the office because she thought I was drawing something else. And I was like, what? So I don't think that That's I drew wild. Anything else after that because I ended up getting in trouble. And I was like it's it's amazing that that one opportunity or that one incident really deterred me from, I was like, okay, I'm not drawing anymore, right?
Yeah.
So your mom put a camera in your hand. It was my stepdad for me. Like, I started recording video at like the age of 10 or 11 of recording us opening Christmas gifts. Like, he had a camcorder. And so I was in charge of that. That led to a couple years later, me shooting middle school basketball, girls basketball. Now, I didn't start editing anything until I, because back then it wasn't any editing like in our area, right? It was just camcorder tapes. It was just for them to watch film. So I was kind of a video coordinator for for middle school girls basketball. But it wasn't until I got to college. But getting those opportunities to, I did replay. I did, you know, video board cam op. I would grip. I was a utility. You know, used to always work with ESPN or Fox or Sun Network. Whoever came to town, I was trying to get game. And so it's it's amazing, you know, having somebody from, you know, an hour or so down the road from where I'm from, kind of having a similar trajectory. So, so you go to junior college. What was the decision to go to JUCO versus going straight to Southern Miss? Like, did you go to Meridian to play basketball, or what was that?
Nah, it was more so like just the cost. Like, you know, college was just expensive in general. So like I had a, I had like scholarships and stuff to go there. So, I mean, you know, I was just like, look, it's close to home. I already got a job here. I can still freelance and kind of just, you know, do a few ins and out things. Cause I had like, I was in like a car group back then. So we was all like based out of Meridian. So that's, you know, that added some more content stuff as well. You know, we had, we built like one of the first cars in Coffee. It was me and two of my closest friends. We started this whole Cars and Coffee thing. And, you know, we just brought on some other people that kind of helped amplify it. So taking pictures. And then we brought on another content creator that was doing like little cinematic videos and everything. And we were just out there having fun, man. But yeah, yeah, I think it was a good decision for me just, you know, just because of the cost and everything. And it was just, I can still learn the same stuff. And then if I wouldn't have went to MCC, I wouldn't have came in contact with Rusty, which then referred me to Southern Miss, which helped me get like step by step, you know?
What was the first camera that you kind of started shooting with? And what was that?
It was
camera?
A Rebel.
Okay.
It was a Rebel something, but I know it shot in like 720p.
Yeah, probably.
That was the highest that it would go back then. So,
depending on what year it was, it could have been a T3 or a T5 or something.
Yeah, I think I think it was a T5. Okay. I think it was a T5.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was doing a little bit of stuff with that. Then I got into a little bit of portrait photography. So, but yeah, my mom, she's a retired teacher now, but back then she, like, her pastime was doing photography.
Okay.
And, you know, she was just like, hey, you know, maybe you want to try this, you know? And then when she put the camera in my hand, I was just like, yeah, I kind of like this. Cause I'm like, I'm a very creative minded person. Like, I can just kind of make a story out of anything. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I like back then where I don't know if you ever heard this little cliche joke about like, what do you call it? Like, fat people, they don't have dreams. They have like movies and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's like real with me, and I'm just like regular, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I go to sleep, you know what I'm saying? And it's crazy that I can recall majority of my dream. That's like a dope story, you know? So I tend to, anything that I kind of just think about, or like if an idea just like randomly pops in my head or something like that, I'm writing it down immediately.
Yep.
Just so I can keep that, and then maybe I can build something off of it, you know?
Yeah, I have heard that joke. And that is that is funny.
Yeah.
So your mom really was, you know, she, a lot of us don't get, you know, introduced to some of this stuff until like later in life. Like we didn't grow up with anybody that we kind of saw, you know, doing video or doing photo, but she actually kind of helped like drive you. So what was she shooting with back then? Was she also a Canon user?
Yeah, she was using Canon, but she was also doing like, what was that stuff? Like the Red Room photography. Like you had to like actually get it like made and all of that stuff. She was doing that.
She was real.
Yeah, she was doing that kind of stuff. And then she was like, she always tell me, she was like, yeah, I'm always be a better photographer than you. Just know that.
Yeah.
Like she's always going head to head with me about that stuff. So I was like, all right. So
yeah. So she shot on film.
Yeah, man.
If she was,
yeah, she did film.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, jumping back into it, when did you know that like, oh, I can be really good at this?
I would say it wasn't in college yet. It was like I figured I was okay, you know. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe. But I think I want to say it was at VCU.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was like when I did develop my creative team, and then just looking at all of the stuff that we were able to produce during that time, and just being able to show like visibility to all the sports while still being able to create high quality pieces, storytelling pieces, brand videos and all of this stuff. And then I was just looking, I was just like, yo, this really might be something I can continue to like excel at, you know, even though I'm already in this, but I kind of just got through in the fire in that situation because for one, I've never been a manager before, even though I had experience, but it wasn't my sole position.
Right.
So having to be in these meetings, learning how to be a professional and, dressing appropriately and just learning how to talk to people and stuff like that, you know, building connections. Like that was tough. That was tough. Yeah. But figuring that I could do that stuff at VCU just coming out. And sometimes I just believe that people just need an opportunity to showcase what they can really do.
Without a question.
Because you never know if you can do something until you put yourself in that position and see how you come out. And one thing about me, you can put me in a situation, but I'm always come out on top. Cause I'm not afraid to fail, and I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna figure it out along the way, you know, just to make it happen.
Yep. So you go from VCU, who doesn't have football, to the Jags. How did you make that transition of, you know, creating? I mean, if you can shoot sports, you can shoot sports, but football is so much different than basketball and baseball and all of these things. So how did you prepare yourself to get that position at the Jags, per se?
So with that, I did shoot football in college. So, but it was like on the little over-shoulder cameras,
okay.
The Panasonics.
Yep.
So I did have experience during my time there. And then I went more into a directing role when I was in grad school. So I didn't do a lot of shooting then, but in college during 2015 and on up, I was filming pretty much every sport. So I had a reel. I think I only had two games because for some reason, I don't know why I didn't think to like take all of my footage that I was shooting. But before they transferred the services, I managed to get at least two tapes of like two of the best games that I had, and I put that on like my portfolio. So when I did go to VCU, and they like I didn't get hired by the Jags for me shooting football. I got hired because of how I shot other sports and how I told stories and built out narratives that way.
Yep.
Because I think the Bones Highland intern the NBA draft video is what got me the Jags job. I did his video when he announced that he was going into the draft. I went up to, I think it was Wilmington, Delaware is where he's from. So I went up there went to his old school, did some interviews, got him in the gym interacting with the kids, did an interview, and then he did his whole announcement, built it into a piece. And yeah, they love that. They love that kind of stuff. So if I can give advice to anybody, storytelling is where it's at. If you know how to tell stories and make it look good, and being able to pull emotion, that's the big thing. If you can't pull emotion from people, it's going to be tough. So you got to figure out how to pull emotion from people and being able to show them in the limelight and just, you know, just make it look good.
Yep. And that's why I brought that up, because, you know, on here we like to, you know, give some gems and teach and all that. And sometimes we may get in a, there may be somebody who is in college right now who's like, oh, well, I got to shoot football or I'm not going to be able to get a job, or I got to shoot basketball. If you can shoot the sports that nobody is paying a lot of attention to, like, there's mm-hmm. not many sports that I haven't shot, like, that mm-hmm. that was available. I never got a chance to shoot equestrian when I was at mm-hmm. when I was at Georgia, and I never got a chance mm-hmm. to shoot rowing at Texas.
And that would have been cool.
And rifle would have been the one at Ole Miss, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been scared to shoot any of them, because if you can shoot, right. well, no cliche. I mean, no pun intended with rifle, right?
Yeah.
But if you can film and tell that story, like, to your point, it can mm-hmm. transfer over. So you were basketball focused at VCU with that story, and they're like, oh, if you can shoot that, you can shoot anything. Like, if you can mm-hmm. make a story out of this, it's just like, you know, people feeling like, going back to what I said, people feel like you got to, oh, I got to get to the big sport. Go shoot golf. Mm-hmm. Go shoot tennis. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not many people, and this is not a brag, but I actually enjoyed filming tennis. Like, probably more mm-hmm. than any other sport, because it's so much action and it's so much room for error that it doesn't have to be, like, perfect. With baseball,
right?
That's a skill where if you follow the ball, that is, you can get it, right? If you can follow a football pass,
yeah,
you can, you know. But tennis, it's so much action. Mm-hmm. It's always action. Like, yep. you can't turn an incomplete pass. Like, what if your quarterback goes 2 for 20, right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, well, somebody's got to catch a pass. Like, something, like, even with a dunk in basketball or a three, like, oh, I'm just going to show the release and then go to the next thing. You could do that. You can make that. But how do mm-hmm. you tell the story with what you have? So,
right. That's fair. And speaking on that, the ball tracking, that's been one of my most asked, like, questions. Like, how do I ball track, or where did I learn how to do that? I learned that in college. So I got it from baseball, filming baseball. So I was always told to not follow the ball, because we have, like, camera one, which is the main camera. Mm-hmm. So it's not good for you to try and follow the ball from that camera, because you always have to come back. So I was a rebel and I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna just do it anyway,
right,
and just see if I could do it. So I started learning how to follow the ball. And then it was like, Cam, I like what you did. It's different. It's not standard. But if the next time the person hits the ball, try to follow it the whole way. And then I'm gonna cut to another camera so you can pull back. So I was like, okay, cool. So I learned how to do that, how to stay in focus. And in a baseball is about that big.
Absolutely.
In which you're so being so far away, I was just like, yo, I don't know how I'm doing this, but I'm going to keep doing it. And then lacrosse. I did lacrosse and field hockey at VCU. I did tennis.
Yep.
I did baseball there. So, and golf. Now, golf is the only one I feel like I can't track. I can't do that.
Tracking a golf ball.
Yeah, the ball too small.
It is.
Yeah. You got to use a drone for that or something, like a FPV drone or something, but. Yeah, that's where I learned how to ball track, and I started learning more about it when I got into football. So, yeah, I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna just keep doing it. I'm gonna keep trying it out, and then I guess another thing that I learned is how to be in the right positions at the right time. Mm-hmm. Still don't know how I do it. I still kind of, you know, I don't always be in the right positions at the right time all the time, but more times than less, I am in a good position. Mm-hmm. So like some of those shots, like I would say like my favorite shot of this year with the Jags is probably the Evan Engram touchdown against Green Bay, because like I think it was like it was a situation to where I was in the corner. I seen the ball coming right to me. I didn't track the ball this time. I started doing more of like trying to find the person. Mm-hmm. So I found Evan. He jumped up, snagged it over like 2-3 people, came to me, and then it's like this epic shot to where his hands are like raised, the crowd is screaming, and then it's just perfect, like all in my screen. And I'm just like, yo, this is insane. Like, yeah, so it really helps if you can just kind of, it's like luck, you know, because you're never always going to be insane, be in the right spot at the same time. So, I mean, yeah, it's just like that. That was great. So I've had a lot of those shots in my career, just being in the right place. And yeah, so that's just kind of my take on all of that.
Yeah, so you're just going to shout out all my rebels today, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Evan, great player. So mm-hmm. you mentioned something there as well. It's like sometimes we get in a rhythm of or in a comfort zone of like, oh, well, I always got to shoot from the corner, or I always got to shoot from this place or that place. Mm-hmm. Are you like a person that likes to move around during the game? What's kind of your mentality in game? Because we'll talk about game day. We're gonna mm-hmm. go back and, you know, go from the top. But like in game,
yeah.
What's your kind of rhythm or habits or?
I move around. So it's like if you know that the team, like our team, is getting close to a touchdown or something like that, that's when I go to the top of the end zone, because you always want to try and get that front facing shot, because I'm the only one that's shooting for social. We have our production team out there shooting for their stuff as well, which we can still use, but my stuff is live. So I always tend to get either on the edges and then just kind of follow the team down. And then obviously, you know, like when the sides flip and all of that. But I have a few different spots. The top of the end zone, I have like the sweet spots on the corners. And then I tend to go from different sides, either on the opponent side or stay on our side. And then what I've been recently starting to do is shoot up top in our Gallagher Club, mm-hmm. like in the midst of the fans. So that's like a new angle that I've been trying out. I'm waiting for us to, like, when the Jags get a dome, that creates more opportunity to be up in the rafters and shooting like down and stuff. Cause you know, like shout out to the Atlanta Falcons, you know, they've been really good with innovating their shooting style and everything. So like the way that they shot down from the rafters and everything, and with the slow-mo footage, the phantom cams and all this stuff, like that stuff is dope.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. Atlanta.
Kind of a floater.
Yeah.
So.
Atlanta, all their sports do some insane stuff sometimes. So mm-hmm. shout out to the Atlanta pro teams that are very innovative. Mm-hmm. So let's talk game day. You've been in the NFL now for how many years?
I started late, so I want to say I just finished up my fourth season. Okay. So it's my fourth season, but 3.5 years, and then now going into my fifth.
Okay.
So
yeah. So you've seen a lot of football. Mm-hmm. Walk us through what a game day is, and then we'll talk about how you prepare for that. So we'll talk about game day. Let's say kickoff is at 1 o'clock. Walk us through how, like, a game day with Cam.
Okay. Funny thing, I actually did a piece on that with Sony this year. So, but basically what happens is, yes, sir, love Sony. Basically what happens is I set a time for myself to be at the stadium like early enough to capture arrivals. So that'll probably start at around like 9 o'clock. So get there, go into my office, you know, chop it up with the guys for a quick little second, go into our photo room, get set up, get my video equipment ready. And then we got this little tunnel that we walk through. So I just go out there on our we have something called teal carpet. So we do that, capture a whole bunch of our players coming in. And then that's where I kind of like experiment with different kind of angles, hiding behind like the walls and stuff, and kind of like shooting up and everything, getting more sky than anything, or like focusing on like the jewelry and stuff like that. So, yeah, once I get all of our arrivals and everything, I come back, edit, get that stuff up for social, send it to our social media manager, web, so they can get like certain pieces up. After that, then we have like pregame activations and influencers. So this year we've worked with a lot of different people, from Olympians to movie stars to rappers, singers, and all that stuff. I worked with Lil Tyler. I've worked with Netta Walker, Chameleon, Lil Duval, Jahan Sweet. It's a lot of people to name that I've worked with from my influencer standpoint. Seti Hendrix, mm-hmm. Carlos Foster. I did some stuff 89 Los Originals. So those are like a few of our influencers that I've worked with. So I would normally either get shout out videos, get them slow-mo videos, and kind of create that into like a package, just so we can showcase who's at the game. Once we get all that, I can chop up some of that stuff, get that out. So it's a lot of going here, edit, back, here, edit, back, you know? So after that pregame stuff, guys start coming down the tunnel. That's where I get real creative. Sometimes I shoot handheld out there, or sometimes I shoot on the gimbal, and I'll just start like getting guys in their element. And one thing I like to do is I like to capture guys in their element of like nothingness, because I feel like I get some of my best shots when players are really doing nothing, mm-hmm. just kind of like basking in the moment or stretching, and they're like listening to their headphones, locked in, laying on the ground. And you can kind of just think of stuff like that when you color grade it, and you just add like keyframes, or somebody just laying on the ground, you know what I'm saying? With like, I'm really good with music selection too. So just imagine that. So after pregame, the guys go in, they get dressed, come back. So I have to redo it again. Same stuff, but it's more intense. So now they're like hitting pads, catching passes, yep. all this stuff. The music's going, they're hype. They do their little speech, follow them back in, take a little 10-minute break. Then we have something called the shadows. So that's where we bring in certain fans that have these privileges to go in there and greet the team before they're walking out. And it's like flashing lights everywhere with the lasers and stuff. It looks like a club. So the guys come in, they have a boom box. So I'm recording them coming out, or it's two ways I can do it. I can record them coming out, or if I want to get like the actual intros, I go onto the field with the other media people, and we would just record them coming out. We had like separate intros, and then I like to shoot that kind of wide to where I can get the smoke coming up, get the fans, and get like that soul focus on the player. And then after that, it's pretty much kickoff after that. Like once they do the handshakes and everything, I kind of got to already know where I'm going to be like for that first half. So that's either I'm going to be in the stands. So if I'm in the stands, I'm shooting intros from up top. But if I'm not, then I'm just going to like figure out where, like who gets the ball first of all. And then that'll determine how I kind of place myself.
Gotcha. I've seen a lot of what you do. Like I love how you take not just, okay, game day and this is what I do, but also turning it into even more content after the game, like the following week. Mm-hmm. I always yep. tell, you know, creatives, and it always kind of bugged me being at places that care more about winning than great content, is that if mm-hmm. you can shoot a loss and turn game footage that you lost in into Magic to where it's not really about the game. It's more so about, and, you know, and don't care about what the fans got to say, but turn it into great content, then you can do great, great stuff. But a lot of places, whether it's pro or college, they care more. Well, if we lost this game, burn the footage, right? And it's like,
yeah,
that's a waste of everybody's time. It's like, it goes beyond just that. So what's your favorite part about game day?
Favorite part about game day? I would say it's the game. Like, I like the game because it's even though I love going out, you know, like meeting our influencers, meeting friends that are there, even talking to some of the fans. And actually, I'm going to change that. Even though we're there to do a job, it's the people, because I've made a lot of friends with our NFL, like, LCC program. Yeah. So I've met a lot of videographers, photographers, people from different teams and everything that I've built relationships with. So that right there. And then I would say game day is probably second. So, like, actually filming the game, because, like, it's beautiful when you're able to get the shots that you want, or, like, you got a shot that you're surprised that you actually got or something like that. But definitely just going out there, being able to see the people that you know and that you've been communicating with. Because, like, once the season's over, everybody kind of just disperses back, you know what I'm saying? So, like, those are, like, one of the few times to where you get to see everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. So we talked about game day, favorite part about it. Now let's talk about preparation for it. So NFL, you only got one game a week, and you only got one sport. How do you, like, what does the week leading up to game day look like for you, and how are you preparing for the next one?
Well, normally it starts out like, what content are we going to do during the week? That kind of, like, one recaps the past game and one that leads up to the next game. So I think we have, like, the most partners in the league. So that requires us to produce a lot more content. So we do locker room stuff to where, like, we do, like, mini mics, we do Jags cams, we ask questions, we have, like, locker room scrums and all of that stuff. And then anything that comes out of locker room scrums, besides, like, the other, like, TikTok content or, like, just other, like, social media content with Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, all that stuff. Like, it's just, like, hype videos are the main things that are on my plate. So, like, I basically lead the charge on majority of the hype videos. And then once it gets to, like, playoffs and stuff like that, that's when we bring in a bigger team. I get with production, and then that's when we start setting up, like, these real detailed shoots and stuff. But it's definitely the hype videos and any kind of promotional content. We get with other marketing, like, our other marketing leaders, to kind of go down, like, initiatives that we have to cover, like Inspire Change, or if there's, like, foundation events or anything that's, like, going on outside, like at Daily's Place, or any kind of tentpole events that's going around on the at the facility. So either I have to capture that stuff, or production's capturing it, or I have to, like, help assign people to it, or utilize, like, one of my interns or something like that to kind of get that covered. And then, you know, once the hype video's done and everything, kind of just I get like Saturday to chill, depending on if it's home or away. Because if it's home, I get my Saturdays back. I can kind of chill, unwind, relax, and then Sunday just get up and go. But if we're away, then we have to get up Saturday, depending on what time the game is, travel to the hotel, check in, flying on the plane, and then that's when I capture, like, arrival content and stuff, like saying, like, yo, we're here. And we get up early in the morning, head to the stadium. And then it's basically we prep the same way that we would do at home. It's the same way that we'll prep for an away game.
Amazing. So we'll step away from the job a little bit. NFL season is, is pretty long. You know, and it's when we get back to the NFL, we'll kind of get into some of the intricacies that people may not know of. But with a full-time job in the NFL, how are you, like, what does your time and space outside of the job and work look like? What do you do in your free time or as a hobby or any of that kind of stuff?
With the job, I mean, it's a grind, you know, like the off season is more laxed depending on what kind of season that you had. You know, like it's a lot of factors that kind of go in, but it's not as strict as in season is. Cause in season you kind of gotta be ready. You gotta kinda like be on go at all times, you know, unless like there's like something going on that you gotta take time to step away from. But you just gotta be all hands on deck, you know? So, and I mean, with us, I mean, we're not necessarily shorthanded, but everybody kind of has a job to do. And even though like the work is going to still be there, you know, just kind of like make sure you communicate. But outside of work, I do a lot of travel, like in off season and stuff like that. Like not doing it this much this year because I'm getting married in April. So obviously the wedding takes up a good bit. Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. So we're just locking in, getting the wedding all taken care of, any extras, making sure our flights are good, hotels are good, all that stuff. So that's mainly what my focus is right now. But other than that, like any normal summer or something like that, I would be one, working out. So I'm getting back working out again for sure. Because during the season, I for some reason, I just couldn't really make time for some reason. Like I was just so tired that I'm just like, yo, man, I just want to go home and chill, just like relax. But I do game. I game a lot. Play the PS5. Wrestling guy, so I watch a lot of WWE, AEW, and just like those things. I'm tapped into like live shows and all of that. I like to shop, movies, try different foods, like I said, travel, and just experience different things. You know, I'm a country boy, so I like being out in nature. My fiance may not like being out in nature sometimes, but it is what it is. But you know, I like to be out on the water, boat trips, all that stuff, and just experiencing life, man.
Yeah. So how are you honing your skills or sharpening in the off season? Like, are you doing any freelance stuff like in the off season to, you know, obviously you can make money doing that, but also you get a chance to, you know, stay sharp.
Yeah, I do a lot of freelance stuff in off season for sure. But basically how I kind of like hone in on my skills and everything. I'm on Instagram a lot. So I follow a lot of different creators or like just average like freelancers in general that post like tutorials and everything like that. And then I'm always trying to figure out like, yo, how did somebody do that? And then just kind of like take the time to like sit down and like craft the footage that I already have and then just kind of like tweak it or learn that special technique or something like that and add it to one, the work I do with the Jags and two, to my my own personal work, you know. And then I'm always, like I said, I'm always thinking of ideas that I'm writing down. And I also work a lot with the Celebration Church. So Pastor Tim, me and him work very closely. And we're always like thinking of different ideas. I've helped him on creating a music video for his recent album that dropped. So like we're just always thinking of new things to do. Like, I'm thinking about series, like a different series that we could produce to kind of just, you know, just find something unique and different, you know. Not sure what it is yet, but I do have an idea, but it's just something that I'm a pitch. And just being around like-minded people or just creative thinkers in general, like that's always going to help like sharpen your skills. So like once an idea is brought to me or we're just talking and something just like flares up, I'm just like, yo, maybe we should do that. Or let's do it. Let's see what we can do to get this done. And, you know, whether we got to rent equipment or this and this and that. But as long as everybody got the buy-in, you can pretty much do whatever you want. But yeah, I've worked a lot with our players. I do a lot of work with small businesses. I've worked with Amazon Prime and NFL Films before, and just a lot of different places, actually. So
yeah. So D Pastor Tim?
Yeah. 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 Tim Timberlake is what he go by.
Okay.
So he's the pastor of Celebration Church, him and his wife Jen. So it's been really good working with them, for sure. And they, like, just the church in general, they give me creative freedom.
Nice.
They're always open and receptive to my ideas and just allowing me to be me, you know, like even just like with the postcards, like there's a new thing going on Instagram and like TikTok and stuff, like people are posting postcards now. So, and that's just capturing lot like raw audio and kind of just tweaking it a little bit and color grading it, like, you know, people entering the church, the service, because it's like a it's somewhat like a mega church in a way. So it's a lot of production that goes into all of this stuff, and I make it look really, really good just shooting behind the scenes and capturing stuff like that. And a lot of the stuff that we do together performs extremely well, so that makes me feel pretty good.
Love it. Out of all the work that you've done, whether that's, you know, from the beginning or outside of sport or in sport, what would you say is the project or is a project or series that you're like most proud of?
I would say it's the one that I won two awards, actually. So
congratulations.
I would say I appreciate that, man. So I would say it would be the Josh Allen resigning video to the Jaguars. I won an award for that. That's probably like my number one, or not number. Yeah, it's my number one for right now. My second one would be the Rookie of the Year video that I just finished with Brian Thomas Jr. I'm going to submit that for an award as well. And I did another hype video for, it was against the Titans. I think it was called Show the World. That was a really good one too. So, but man, it's a lot of projects, man. Like the collab projects with 89 Los Originals, like that whole throwback concept that we did, schedule release. Like it's a lot of big projects I've worked on, man. I mean, I can't really just settle for one. Cause I mean, I got a few that really, you know, turn some knobs, like, for real. So
awesome. So you all, and we talked to another Cam that works for the Jags, doing photography.
Cam Ned?
Yeah. Last year.
That's my guy.
And he talked about some of the collaboration and stuff that you do with people around the community, like bringing in, you know, he was talking about a program that you guys bring in photographers or people around to kind of incorporate. Everybody doesn't get a chance to work with an NFL team, but being able to, you all are always doing something that brings the community in. Talk about that. How much you enjoy working with, you know, fellow community people of the Jacksonville area, to, you know, from artists to celebrity to just, you know, local photographer, videographer. In your opinion, how exciting is it to do that kind of stuff?
I love that. I love that kind of stuff, man. That's one of my pillars, just like giving back and creating opportunities. So like what I'm trying to do now, because like Cam Ned has his own program to where he has an assistant and he has an intern. So he's already building a team. With me, I'm trying to do the same thing. So I would love to create a program to where we can have like video interns that are strictly like video skilled and like has like wants like the get a background in like directing or like a little bit of photography here and there, kind of like, you know, like a all around type of person, but with an emphasis on like video photo type stuff. So being able to work with the creators around the community is great. Cause like right now I'm working with a few people right now, Winston and Natavia. So like those are like the two that I kind of just took on this year. And I kind of just brought them on for like things that are going on. Like I brought them on to help with the fashion shoots that I had going on. I brought them in on game day because not a lot of people get the opportunity for game day, but that's something that I don't take lightly because I know a lot of people reach out to me about like, hey, I want to come shoot a game day. You know what I'm saying? But it's about what can you do outside of game day? Mm-hmm. Because I don't necessarily need coverage on game day, but I need help with community events. I need help with the other things that are going on around the stadium. You know, it's what they call it. It's not sexy. Yep. It's like it's the dirty work, not really dirty work, yeah. But it's like you got to work from the ground up, mm-hmm. You know? So like, I appreciate those two, Natavia and Winston, because they've always helped me with a lot of things that I needed help with, things that I just couldn't do. And it was like, hey, I want to get some experience. I'm hungry. I want to do this. I want to build my portfolio. I'll do it for free or anything like that. Like, I appreciate that. So I rewarded them to like help come to a game day. And they filmed some sponsor stuff for me. And I was just like, yo, like, I really appreciate this. Like, just giving back to them and helping them build their resumes, build their portfolios, and being able, like, them being able to see their work posted on Jaguars channels. And, you know, that's like one of those proud moments that I have. And also being able to work with influencers and people in the community, like the community leaders and just small local business owners and everything on like projects for community and foundation projects. It's a lot of good people in Jacksonville, man. So I love being able to tell the story of Jacksonville through the people.
So we like to play a little game, and it's always unpredictable. It's always figured out right before we do it, but it's 30 seconds. And we never really tell the people what it is until now. So you're going to have 30 seconds. You know, you mentioned putting together a team. Like you talked about a lot of things, and usually we'll say, oh, 30 seconds, name as many things that you need for game day. That's not it. We're going to mm-hmm. build you a team for Cam's department. From top to bottom, let's say that you're leading a social media content team. No budget. You just get to, like, what's your wish list for a team? And 3, 2, 1, go.
You would need a director of social and web. You would need a director of production. You would need a virtual effects artist. You would need a team of videographers.
How many?
And photographers. Let's say 3.
Okay.
3 video, 2 photo.
Okay, 5.
Let's see. You need a sound operator. Okay. So let's say 2 of those.
Okay.
You would need an editor.
And that's it.
So let's just say we got 2 editors.
And that's your time.
And
that is your time. Okay. But hey, that's a solid team. Like, that is a
yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, going back to when, very similar with both of us, you were exposed early enough to where you understood that, you know, we see videographers and photographers as front facing. It's a whole mm-hmm. other team that's doing social. It's a whole other team that's right. doing the broadcast on the radio side. It may be television mm-hmm. broadcast, but then there's a team of people who are doing the actual live production to make that happen. So there are a lot of job opportunities, but if you're short-sighted or just, you know, see the one thing like, oh, I want to work in social for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, there are other opportunities there too. And instead of them coming to you and say, oh, I want to work a game day, hey, can I come shadow you and some of your other team because I want to know, like, what goes into it. Like, I was always curious when I was in college. Like, I want to know how many people are in the production truck, how many people are in the, you know, in the studio, in the production room, how many people are, like, in the stadium, because it may be only one TD job, right? And if I set my sights on just being a TD, you know, it's just one position. It may just be one videographer position. So, but there's a gap in there somewhere where somebody may age out or somebody may leave. So always, you know, leaving room for that. So now I'm going to ask you, this is more of a personal question. You're from Quitman, Mississippi. Some people may not have ever heard of Quitman, right? Looking back on 7, 8, 10, 15-year-old Cam, did you ever envision that you would be where you are today? Is part one. And part two is, looking back, what advice would you give to that younger version of yourself?
Okay. Well, I know in my yearbook, I put that I wanted to be a movie producer. So I know, like, that vision was always going to be there. So that's answer to question one. So I figured I was going to do something in either film, sports, or whatever it was going to be. And then advice to young Cam. One thing is, it's a cliche quote, but comparison is the thief of all joy. You know, so try not to look around and compare yourself to anybody and ask yourself, like, why I'm not here. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Because it's like, you may think you know it all, but you don't know it all. It's so much more that you could learn, like, be a sponge and then kind of just take anything that you learn and input it into your life. And then just keep going, like, step by step, build these connections. And just get out your comfort zone. Like, don't get accustomed to what's going on in the city. Always look past the city, because your hometown can hold you back sometimes. So you have to be willing to do things to help get you and your family out of that situation. You know, you want to grow. So, you know, you want to set an example for your family, your brothers and your sisters. So, you know, that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to continue to be the example for my community back home. And the other thing is patience and timing, because I did struggle with that. I tend to struggle with it now. Patience. You know, I'm very antsy sometimes. And, you know, all good things come to those who wait. So back then, I would just tell myself, like, your time is coming. Don't compare yourself to nobody else. Be authentically you. Set yourself apart and just go out there and create. No, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
And that is the title of this podcast episode. It's going to be patience and timing. I think that's perfect, though, because we're all... I remember when I was in high school, right? I played football at a small 2A high school. Had to play every position because wasn't a whole lot of players. Mm-hmm. But I started running track my junior year. And I, like everybody, wanted to be a sprinter. You know, but you got to be fast to be a sprinter. You know? And I took it as an offense when I went out there and the distance coach was like, yeah, you're going to run the mile, the half mile, and 2 mile. And I was like, where the 100 and the 200 at? But one thing that taught me is is that patience is, you know, patience and timing is everything, because it turned out that I was a really good distance runner. I might have been an average at best sprinter. And sometimes it takes other people knowing your strengths and helping you to recognize those. And so you got to have some patience. It is a marathon. It is a long road sometimes. Sometimes we see people who get it before us and we're like, why did they get it and I didn't? Well, timing is everything, because what's for you, no one can ever get in the way of that or take that away but you. Like if you, you know, I always tell people, clap for others when, you know, when they're winning, clap for them. Because if not, what's going to happen when you get yours and the room is empty? Because everybody that you've walked, you know, and got their flowers and their due before you, and you didn't clap, you're like, well, I'm going to sit in this corner and be mad and I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. They're like, no. Like, be excited for everybody else so that you know what it feels like to be appreciated when you get that. So it's always, man, that time and peace, it's a hard, especially for this new generation that wants it, like, now.
They want it.
I want to graduate from college. I want to be creative director. So I'm going to go ahead and start my own business at 20. It's like, you can do that. There's no... there is no thing that says that you can't do that, but you could also take the opportunity to learn from other people to help make, to take some of those blows away. Like, the industry isn't going anywhere.
Correct. You know,
Hollywood isn't going anywhere. Like, even like you wrote in, you're saying your book, movie producer, right? That's still possible. Hollywood is still there. Atlanta is there. New York is there. Now Texas is turning into a production hub. Like even Florida has production. Like, this stuff isn't really going anywhere. And if you want it, you can still go get that. But it also, there's nothing with changing course either. Right?
Like
you found something that you love doing that you could implement some of that. That movie drive into your social content. Like, you can still, like, now everything is about being cinematic, right? Like, in cinema, this. But, like, do the small things and do them well. Like, that's one of the things, like, talking to you and talking to some others in the league or in college is, like, everybody wants the big prize, but who's going to do the little things well? Who's going to go to that community event and make it the best edit that they could possibly make it, because it means that much to do everything at a high level, right? They, you know, a famous quote that says, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And if you do the small things bad, how can I trust you with the big? So with that being said, who are some of the people that inspired you along the way to help you continue to show up for you to continue to want to chase that dream?
I have a lot of people, man. Dang, that's a good question. But I mean, ultimately, my family, for sure. They're like, they're my backbone. My my fiance, soon to be wife, she's always pushing me to be like, hey, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she gonna set me straight. If something just ain't that good, she gonna let me know, and it's not gonna hurt my feelings. But she always kind of like helps put input in, like, how I can make it better, because she's a creative thinker as well. So even though she works in like property management, real estate, she still thinks creatively. So that helps me a lot. I have a lot of people, man. It's going into that team that I built. Like, Milo is one of my closest friends. I look at the stuff that Josiah is doing, Meg is doing, Bev, Rock. It's so many, like, from that team at VCU. And then going into like the Jags, you know, like my whole social team, digital team, with Jen, Pease, Brooke, Josie, Charlie, Devin, Amon, and my supervisor Nick, and even Miss Asia, Like they've helped me a lot. Everett from production. You got Aaron Berkshire, Logan, James, and I know I'm missing some names. If I don't say your name, don't take it personal. Still love you. But man, it's a lot of people, man. I look at different teams as well. Like Serena from the 49ers, really dope. Connor from the Raiders, really dope work. That I like the Tennessee Vols, USC, Ole Miss. Like it's a lot that I just gain experience from, like experiencing, like just watching and like learning. So, but yeah, man, like just all of this stuff, you know, I appreciate it all. So, but yeah, man, it's a lot. It's a lot that went into all this for sure.
For sure. Obviously we, like I said, at one point, we love to give back and give game and help, you know, the next generation or, you know, the generation that may be the same age. We like to give. Mm-hmm. This is a giving platform. For someone yep. who has zero experience, maybe thinking about doing it, you know, wanting to be a creative, what advice would you give them on how to navigate this industry to get to where you ultimately want to be? Because, like, nobody rolls out the bed and then they're working in the NFL on Sundays.
That's true. I would say the main thing is just to, one, like, know if this is really what you want to do or not, or do you just want to do it because it's just like it looks fun, as per se? Because like it's not always fun. Like there's like moments of like anxiety and like some people get like to a low point because they can't think of the next best idea or anything like that. So it's like, do you really want to do this or does it look cool? But two, reach out to people. And then also just be, don't take everything personal, because like sometimes a lot of people, they do have a lot going on and some people's DMs do get flooded. So don't take it personal if somebody takes a while to get back to you or anything like that. But also don't stop reaching out. Don't use that. It's like, oh, they don't want to talk to me or anything like that. Like definitely keep reaching out. Start learning some stuff like on your own, like go out to a couple of, workshops, go to some, film camps. There's plenty of, opportunities out there to where you can go out and just learn like the basics of, content creation. And, you know, if you got your first camera, just sitting there waiting to be used, you don't have to just film sports. You can just go out and you can vlog. You could do your everyday life. You could just capture the elements of nature that's going around. Like people love that stuff, you know, like just go out and see what kind of sticks. And just like I said before, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail, because that was one of my things growing up. I was afraid to do stuff because I was afraid to fail, you know. And then, I mean, sometimes you got to lose some to win some, you know. So, but yeah, just go out there and create. Be free. Ask questions, you know, like get on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people like use social media as a tool, you know, like just go out there, go talk to people, look at these different tutorials. You don't necessarily have to go to college to be a content creator, quote unquote. Well, I mean, I do recommend school still. You know, that's one thing that people can't take away from you. They can't take away education. So, but definitely use these social media platforms as tools. Go out there and learn some stuff, because I'm still doing it now. Like what I told you earlier, I'm looking at like my For You page is filled with, oh, how to do this technique, or oh, how to do this, or this is how I did this. And that's how I continue to grow every day, because I'm always finding something new to keep my brain fresh. So, but yeah, just go out there and create.
Well, Cam, you know, from one Mississippian to another one, I am extremely proud of you. Watching your continued growth and success, and you know, just the way that you continue to push the envelope, try new things, but also just representing, you know, for people like myself and you who we're an inspiration probably to the next generation or current generation. It's probably people who got in the video because they see your work, or they see your work mm-hmm. now, or something that I may have done or posted or whatever. So mm-hmm. always keeping that in mind that, like, it's not just about us. We're a reflection of, you know, the next generation and those who came before us. So from one to another, man, I'm proud of everything that you're doing, and can't wait to see everything else that you put out there.
I appreciate you, man. I really do. I appreciate you for having me on. And also, I can't forget these two. I don't know if I said Nick Burr's song, but yeah, he's the one that gave me a chance with the Jags. Very appreciative for him just for allowing me to show what I can do. And I can't forget about Cam Ned either. Cam Ned stays on me all the time. He was like, hey, man, I need you to, you know, like, I need you to bring back some of that juice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're slacking a little bit. He going to stay on me, man. And he's the one that's always preaching to me, like, yo, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, he keeps me level headed and everything. You know, he's been a big inspiration for me just overall.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Cam. And that'll conclude that. I'm going to hit stop. Before I hit stop, is there anything we missed that you want to include, or you feel like, I mean, we got a lot of good juice out of there.
Yeah. Let me see. I don't know. I think that might be it, but okay. Yeah. Maybe just one more thing, like for creatives and just people in general, like, creativity waits for no one. Like, just go out there and create. Keep your mind fresh, but also prioritize your health, because the work gonna be there regardless. Like, I know all about the stress, the anxiety, the physical wear and tear of just doing this for a long time. Like, but you have to take care of yourself, because you only get one body. You know, you can't run it into the ground, because, like, you run it into the ground, you can't do nothing else, you know. So just take time for yourself, be with your family. This work stuff will always be here. At the end of the day, yeah, just make sure that you good. Take care of yourself first.
Absolutely. As mentioned, I don't know if we made a mention or not during this episode, but this is a part mm-hmm. of our Black History Month celebration. We like to take this time each year to spotlight Black creatives. What would be a message to Black creatives in the space or aspiring that you would like to give to them?
It's one of my mottos I go by. So I have this thing called Why Not You, or Why Not Me. So basically what it is that you can be who you want to be. And just because somebody say, like, oh, I don't think you'll be able to do this or do that. Well, my thing is why can't it be you? Why shouldn't it be you? Because it can be, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's what I preach to my interns and just people that I talk with on a daily, just saying, like, yo, like, this can be you, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I tell myself that all the time. You know, I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to do all of these marvelous things that are out there in life. And sometimes I get down on myself, but then I just kind of fall back on that statement, like, why can't I do this? And then I do everything I can to obtain that. So, yeah, man, just like I said before, just be authentically you. Bet on yourself. You know what I'm saying? Just keep God first at the same time, and just go out there and go do it. Go have fun, man. And just be your best you, for sure. And I know it's not a lot of us in that field or in this field in general, but, you know, we're growing, you know. So, and I'm trying to be one of the leaders that are inspiring us to continue to be better and to help get more of us in this field by providing opportunities, which is what I'm doing now. So, like, I'm always open to talking to young creatives. You know, just hit me up. You know, sometimes my schedule can get a little hectic, but, you know, I'm going to definitely try and get back to everybody as quickly as I can. I'm always looking to provide opportunities just like for us and everything, you know. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got, man.
Well, Thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.